Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Somebody will leave. Exactly 7 years ago, end of May, 1st of June, Jerry and I visited Pace Ministries in Nyakaruru, Kenya. It took me a year to figure out that was a real world, or real word, and about 3 years to figure out how to spell it. I met Washira a year before that, so sitting in a living room in St. Catharines, I met a person who has come to be a friend of ours. He told me about his ministry. He told me about his schools. He told me about his children. He told me about what goes on there, and I was intrigued, but it was just information. He said, come and visit, and we did, and that visit seven years ago, has changed the trajectory of my life, our lives, and Diane's life. He is a dynamic person who, yes, speaks most Sundays at his church as a pastor, but I see him happiest when he's sitting on the ground or a rock or a stump with children around him. His heart is for children. His heart is to raise up children today, so in 20 years they can lead their tribes or their nations for Christ. So let me introduce Washira Wagamau from Nyahururu, Kenya.
Good morning. And I think by now it's afternoon, and I am very, very grateful for another chance to share with you all. This is not my first time, to be here. This is not quite my first time, to share. And so I bless God for every opportunity He continues to open for us. David and Diane, thank you for the picture that you painted about Kenya. And in that picture, there is a good moral story in it. And the good moral story in it is this. I think the Kenyans park people into the vehicle because someone did read this word to them that heaven is not all that big. It can be measured by a foot. So it says New Jerusalem is not very big, and so it says, and I measured the breadth and width. And so I think, to comfort myself, they pack them like that to make sure that when we get to heaven, everybody will get in, and no one will be left out. And they will think of it this way. And Diane, as you come back, and you will be squeezed and squashed again. As we cross the border from in Windsor to here, look how many empty spaces that exist. Look how boring. Sometimes a good highway, but it can be boring because there is no activity on it. Well, no highways, there are donkeys, there are bicycles, there are animals, everything is there. So David and Diane, that's not very bad. They are practicing to populate heaven. And if we depend on Canadians for that, heaven will be very scarcely populated. But if we practice this, I hope we can do a better job in the church to encourage people, to get to heaven in that same, type of mentality and that type of commitment. So really thank you for sharing with them what is it, how life it is, where we are serving. Before I can share, a short devotion, because that's what I say, David, that I will just give a short devotion to compliment what they do. I would like, first of all, to thank this church because of, number one, we have our first long-term serving servants among us coming from this congregation. And so to the leadership of this church, to the pastor, to the elders, I want to say thank you for having chosen to send these two to share their lives with our people back home. David and Diane, really thank you. And to a granddaughter that, has also been there. I also want to thank the two teams that have come from this congregation, and trusting that this will not be the last time that we can get fruit. God can get fruit for Himself from this congregation. And I also want to thank those individuals that have also come. As I look at the congregation, I want to say thank you to Mary. She has made several trips there and stayed, you know, far longer than 2 weeks. Thank you, Mary. I look into your congregation, I see Jerry. And I want to say thank you, Jerry, also for the several trips that you have made there. And just the other day, David was reminding me about your continued support for the work there. Thank you, and God bless you. I see Karen in front of you, and I want to thank you also, you know, for the time that you came. Without being hard or not, we are grateful that you came, because it was the right thing to do. I also want to thank you all for a child from this church that is there, and her name is Jillian. You know, to us, they are children. Everybody is a child, so it is not meant to be offensive. So we want to say thank you to the elders, that whenever there has been someone with a desire to go and serve, they were not held back. They were given the support and the encouragement to go and do whatever it is that God has placed in them. So really thank you. And that then drives me to a question that a child had asked a minister like myself, and I would like to ask God for forgiveness for me and for other ministers and parents that give children very simplistic answers that are not right, because it is God that has put that quest and hunger in the child. A child asked this question. Where, he asked the pastor, pastor is when you tell me, where do sinners go? And the pastor said, sinners go to hell. And as I have come to think about that question, perhaps what Shira has said that to a child, that sinners go to hell. So when we tell a child that sinners go to hell, or if we tell a seeking adult that sinners go to hell, are we honestly being truthful to the gospel, or are we excusing, you know, the question? So this morning I'd like to share with you that question. And if sinners go to, you know, the pastor said sinners go to heaven, and good people, then the child say, what about good people? The pastor say, good people come to church. Okay then. If good people come to church, I would like first of all to try and see what does the word of God say about good people. We do know what it says about bad people. What does the word of God say about good people? I think in the book of Mark it says, Jesus answered, no one is good except God. This is Mark. This is the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. You know, they say, they were asking the question, who is good? Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments? You shall not murder, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, and on it goes. Then in another gospel, it says, in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, I'm answering the question, where do good people go? It says, all have turned away, they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, no, not even one. It might be a very heavy theological answer to give to a child. Where do sinners go? And where do good people go? Gospel says that these go here and these go here. So I would like to read to you, share with you a short devotion that is helping me to answer that question, because as David said, we are our children all day long. So my text this morning will come from the book of Luke, chapter 23. The book of Luke, chapter 23. And I want to look at five people that are mentioned there and see whether these five people, with their different characters, where did they go? So please, if you're able to, go with me to the book of Luke chapter 23. Starting with the verse 35, it says, the people stood watching, and the rulers or priests even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Verse 36. There was written notice board above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you Christ? Save yourself." But at the end, verse 40 says, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" Verse 42. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Father, I thank you for this word. I ask forgiveness for when I have given children or even seeking adults a very simplistic but wrong answer because of fear of doing hard work that can be able to give your people the truth, truth that would liberate them and populate your kingdom. Even now, Father, use this word. Even as you prayed for us, that you pray for those who shall continue to share this word, and for those that will believe us because of this word. Use it, Father, this morning to bless all of us, starting with me, that will hear this morning. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So I go again to verse 35 of Luke chapter 23. Where do sinners go? And I will want to share with you five people that are mentioned in these verses and get to see whether we can get an answer. Where do these people go? Verse 35 is saying, the first P, and all of them, because we are talking about people, all of them will start with a P. So if you look at verse 35, it says, the first P, the people stood watching, and the second P, the rulers, the priests, and they sneered at him. So every person we're going to look at in these four verses, they are people that are sinners. So when you as a parent, me as a parent, you as an elder, me as a pastor, give children or a seeking person the wrong answer, we are doing the gospel disservice. So five people here. So the first one, the Bible says, the first P, verse 35. The people stood watching, and the priest even sneered at him. People are not good, they are insulting Christ. Priests, pastors like me, are not good, and remember, good people in church. Pastors like me, they are hauling insults at Christ. They say, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ, if he is Christ of the Son of God, the chosen one." The people mock God, the pastor mocks God, but remember, it is good people who go to church. Let us look at verse 38. There was written a notice about him, which read this, "This is the king of the Jews." But verse 39 says this, "But one of the criminals," and in that criminal I give the other letter P, "one of the perpetrators who hung there hurled insults at him." One of the sinners, one of the perpetrators that was hung with him, they continued to insult Christ. The people did it that were innocent passers-by. The pastor did it. The perpetrators, like this criminal, he did it. And so all of them, he was seen, they are all sinners, just like you and me. He continued to hurl insults at him. The priest said, "If you are truly a son of God, save yourself." The people say, "Save yourself." Perpetrators say, "Save yourself." And we continue. Verse 40. But the other criminal, and this one I call him, the other penitent, the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you even fear God." And this is what is so sad to me as a minister of the gospel, that I join other people to mock Christ. But one sinner stands in the middle and says, to me as a shepherd, to me as a priest, to me as a pastor, what children, don't you even fear God? And so this, church, is the question we needed to answer today. As a parent, when we give a child a simplistic answer, as a pastor, when we give someone that is seeking a dog a simplistic answer, don't you even fear God? Because there is a very small difference in behavior between me and the other people, between me and the people, between me and the perpetrators. A very small difference. Where do sinners go? So the penitent said, don't you even fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing. Just think of it. A sinner that is not allowed in this congregation. He makes more sense than the pastor. He makes more sense than a regular person. He makes more sense than the other sinners. He says, don't you even fear God. So where do sinners go? So verse 43, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So I think the question answers itself. Where do sinners go? They go to paradise. They don't go to hell. Remember now about entering gospel? When we were children, we were told it is not the will of God that any, not even one, should perish. But we seem to celebrate when we treat ourselves better than the sinners. Where do sinners go? Sinners, they want to be remembered in paradise. Because this is what this one sinner said. The pastor didn't ask for forgiveness. The passersby didn't ask for forgiveness. One of the criminals didn't ask for forgiveness. But one sinner did. And what is amazing to me is this. Remember the painted a picture that Jesus is here in the middle, one sinner here and one sinner is here. And when all of them are hurling insults at him, he never rebuked them, he never defended himself, he only answered a question. He looked at this one with a pity, and he looked at this one with a mercy. Remember me when you get into your kingdom. Sinners, they don't deserve to go to hell. Sinners, they deserve, and they're crying, to go to paradise. They want to be remembered in paradise. Pastors, they needed to desire to go to paradise. An average congregation like this, they need to desire to be remembered in paradise. We should not celebrate that anyone gets to go to hell, because it is not his will. That how many should perish? Even one. And remember, in the closing of the gospel, Jesus said that he said to his father, all those that you gave me, I have kept them, except the son of perdition. All those that you gave me, I have kept. So in this church, like in our church back home, let us condemn people, because even John 3:16 is not his will that any should perish. If you get to verse 17, it says, for God did not come to the world to condemn it, but to redeem it. May we have the same desire like this man. As sinners, this is a pastor who does not recognize the Savior, and I claim to work for him, and I mock him when others mock him. May I have the desire to be remembered by him, to be forgiven by him when he goes to his kingdom. As I complete and conclude this prayer, this other sinner that was persecuting Christ, he said, if he is the Son of God, let him save himself and save also us. So I need you to be this picture, that this sinner did not even request Jesus to save him from pain of his nails. He said, save me in the future into paradise. But many of us, we want a quick and remit you leave from pain, but not eternal peace and eternal rest with God. He said his intention was, if you can get yourself off the cross, you'll be able to get me off of the cross also. And once I get off the cross, I will continue with my criminal behavior. But the other one said, forget this pain. It cannot compare to what is awaiting me. So when you get off your cross, remember me in paradise. So church, may we, all of us, have that hunger to be remembered where? In paradise. Because sinners don't deserve that. They deserve to be remembered in paradise. Father, I thank you for these few minutes that you have given us to make a small turn, to make a small correction about ourselves and the way we see ourselves to be better than others and condemn them. We press others down so that we may feel good about ourselves. I ask forgiveness for me. I ask forgiveness for the people you have entrusted into my care. And as Father, we continue to seek the truth. Father, I pray you continue to give me and all of us the boldness to love and to share the gospel truth that you desire to have all sinners with you in paradise. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Church, I thank you for sharing this family with us and everybody else that God might raise from your congregation to serve him here and to serve him anywhere else. Be blessed, O God.